Blog Talk Radio.
Collectively Rewilding is an online forum for learning, sharing, and teaching the skills needed to enhance our experience in the natural world. We're looking for the best mentors, guides, and instructors who can teach a variety of natural skill sets. If you've got something to share, we have the platform to help you make a difference for free. If you are more interested in learning and expanding your abilities in nature, please join us as a member to explore the world of rewilding. Join us at www.collectivelyrewilding.com today.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist's real agenda, seen through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double D, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah,
Mariah. We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They helped me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got Eliza Nika Freedom Microchip. SNSHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom Microchip. I jumped on Eliza Nika joined.
This Freedom Chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom Chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from them getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom Chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Liznica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom Chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Liznica Freedom Microchips. They are sweet.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireza. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Again, everyone, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. TGIM, everyone, another broadcasting week has started for us. I am not alone tonight. We will have Christina joining us here in just a second. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number one on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into tonight's conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Christina in here. Welcome in.
Thanks, Proof, and thanks for being here, everyone.
So what's the word on the street tonight for you?
Oh, I caved in and I used ChatGPT?
ChatGPT, yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on my business plan for the food trailer or the coffee and juice trailer, and it was taking me forever to write everything out. And I talked to my girls, and I'm like, okay, I vowed to never use it, but I said, is there any harm in trying to have it do, like, a business plan for me? And they're like, no, just try it. So I did, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, it spit it out in, like, 2 minutes. You know, obviously you had to go in and tweak it, but wow. So I don't know.
No, I understand. That's how I felt when I asked them to write an article about me.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it's not all bad, you know. I guess it just depends on what is done with it. But my goodness, it saved me a whole lot of time. Because business plans are, you know, they can take a while. So I don't know. But
what's
I think
gonna
for
be on the
like
food
that,
truck?
It's okay to use it. Do what?
What's going to be on the food truck?
Well, I'm going to be focusing on Cuban cuisine and fresh pressed juices. So I won't have a lot of heavy meat like Cuban food. I'll be doing more like the plantains, the black beans, the rice, the empanadas, and, you know.
So it's going to be vegan. It's going to be vegan Cuban food?
No, I'm still on the fence about this, but at first I'm probably just going to start out with like the Cuban coffee and the pastries and the fresh pressed juices. I'm going to try to start simple and then add, but I'm considering trying to make a Cuban sandwich with turkey instead of pork for people. So if I can get the flavors right, you know, I don't know if it's possible, but I'm going to give it a try. So
this might sound dumb, but is there a such thing as Cuban grilled cheese sandwiches?
I think you can do that kind of stuff. I think you just have to use, you know, the Cuban spices. And
yeah.
I actually ordered one off Amazon, and it's pretty tasty. So I think if I just really concentrate on using the Cuban spices and doing some traditional things, I did this kind of Cuban flatbread thing this weekend, and instead of doing bread, I would love to try to do, they will take plantains, you know, and smash them and basically make like tortillas, and they kind of take the place of bread. So I think they're great. They're very tasty. But
I was
going to
say, too, you could probably do Cuban sandwiches with turkey bacon. I don't think that would be too bad.
That's what I was thinking, because you can, you know, they have that called, I guess it's called mojo sauce, you know, and I think as long as you marinate, like, the turkey or whatever in it, it should take on those flavors and be similar, you know. So, I don't know. I'm going to give it a try.
I don't know about turkey itself, but turkey bacon could be okay.
Okay. Well, I might have to do both, you know, because that's with the Cuban sandwich. I'd almost have to have, like, the bacon be like the slice of ham part, you know, that they put on there, possibly. I don't know. So we'll see. But I've got down a couple things. I love the sofrito sauce. One time I made the sofrito and put an egg on top and baked it. And, oh, my gosh, it was delicious. I don't know if you've ever made sofrito before, but, oh, it's good. So, so good.
Hey, there'd be nothing wrong with a turkey bacon and egg sandwich.
Yeah, and I love making egg sandwiches. That's, like, probably one of the favorite things that I make for my kids. They love my egg sandwiches, so that would be a good idea. For sure. So, and I think most people like the black beans and the rice. So, and I don't want to make just plain rice. I want to do the special rice where you put the special seasonings in it. So.
Yeah, if you're going to do rice, you got to do it your way. You can't just do traditional regular rice.
No, yeah. And there was actually a Brazilian restaurant over about an hour from me, and she closed. she was in a location. She moved to a new location. And when she moved, the new location just killed her. It was so sad because her food's delicious. But, man, location can, I mean, it can kill you. It really can. And it was kind of difficult to get to and park, you know. But she did a Brazilian rice, and I think she did hard-boiled eggs in it. I think she did parsley, garlic. I'm trying to think of what else, but oh my gosh, it was so good. So good. Because that's one thing about Mexican food. I do not like Mexican rice. I don't know if you do, but I just don't think it's very good. So, very bland.
Well, I'm sure it's better than whatever that guy barbecue was eating in Haiti.
Did you say in Haiti?
Yeah.
What'd you? So what?
You don't know
so
the leader's name? The head cannibal there, his name is, he calls himself Barbecue.
Oh, my gosh. So what is going on there? I saw something about, yeah, that there's like 1,000 Americans trying to get out of there.
Yeah, so Barbecue is trying to take over Haiti right now.
And he's a cannibal?
Cannibal, yeah.
My Lord, I didn't even realize they, like, truly existed anymore. Yikes. I mean, that country has so much trouble. And I didn't expect it with where it's located. It's so weird. So, and I think they said they've only got, what, 30 Americans out so far?
Well, you know what's funny? The Dominican Republic's border is completely shut down.
Well, what do you mean it's shut down?
The Dominican Republic, they locked their border down to make sure that people from Haiti don't get in.
Oh, wow.
And they share a border with Haiti.
Well, I'm looking at this guy now. Eesh. Reminds me a little bit of Idi Amin.
Meanwhile, Brandon can't figure out how to stop the Haitians from coming in, but the Dominican Republic can.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good grief. My goodness.
Some fool in our chat room wants us to shut down our show to listen to his black experience. I have 0% interest. You went to the wrong show. We're not canceling our show to listen to someone else. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of sharing their name. But I wanted them to hear that before we block them.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. So what would be...
That takes a special something to tell someone to shut their show down to listen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder what he was going to tell us, enlighten us with.
Well, he called me a fool. That's funny. Yeah, I'm on tomorrow, too.
Oh, my God.
I've only been on for 16 years. I'm not going to stop my show to listen to someone else.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the way you go about it.
Before you just come in here and spam us. But anyway, good luck to you. We'll go ahead and get you out of out of listening here. There's no reason for you to be here if your only intention is to talk us into shutting down. So, bye.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the fool. He's spamming in my room that I paid
yeah.
16 years worth of money to have, and he calls me the fool for not letting him spam in here.
Does that happen often?
Look at your own audience.
I mean, it hasn't like when I've been on the show with you, but does that happen very often? Do people try that a lot, or that's kind of unusual, isn't it?
Sometimes. No.
Wow.
They think because they have a show that it's our first day too. So they can,
yeah,
they can overrun us.
Oh, did he have a show going or something?
Yeah, he was wanting us to listen to his show.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's why he asked us to stop our show to listen to him.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez. That takes some, I don't even know if the wiretap has that big of balls.
That's just weird.
Yeah, that's rude. Very rude.
Well, when they don't have audience and they're desperate, that's what they'll do.
Oh, okay.
They're trying too hard.
Trying to get your audience.
Yeah, that's exactly Jeez. What it is.
Wow.
I could never do that.
No. Okay, so I'm looking at this now. Jimmy Barbecue Chirizier?
Yeah.
I don't know how you say that last name.
Yeah, talk to me. Yeah, we'll go with it.
Former cop turned gang leader, bringing Haiti to its knees. Oh, my gosh. What the heck? I mean, obviously, I guess these, like Haiti, these countries like this, they just don't have, I guess their governments are easily controlled. Oh, he said, so
yeah,
the Haiti
president
minister,
left the country a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, said he was resigning. Oh, my gosh. The brink of civil war. Wow. Okay, so, yeah, Biden, are you going to get our Americans out of there, or is this going to be another disaster?
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
I see that. I don't know what that is. There's some video playing with Maria Shriver on it. Find corn snakes.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to let the cannibals come here, and he'll force the Americans in Haiti to stay in Haiti. That's what'll happen.
No doubt. Yeah. Would not be surprised. And they show that guy, that barbecue guy, leader of the G9 coalition, greets a boy while giving a press tour. It makes him look like he's a good guy, you know, holding the kid, shaking the kid's hand and patting him on the head.
Meanwhile, Brandon's saying this is that what's going on in Haiti is Trump's fault somehow.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, and they're starting to. Did you hear that? I'm sure you did. That President Trump's speech, supposedly the media has already, taken it out of context.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was hoping not to say those words today. Because I'm so tired of hearing it over the last 2 days.
Unbelievable. I mean...
But you know the sad thing, though, is that a third of the country hates Trump so much that they would take a bullet for Brandon.
Idiots.
That's how much Trump derangement syndrome they have. The only thing is that can we get a third, at least a third of the public to vote for Trump? And that's the question. Because you have a third of the public that doesn't care what happens. They don't care if the earth blows up. They just don't want Trump as president. And they're serious about that.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then you've got a big portion of them now, too, that they just don't even want to vote because they don't feel like it matters, you know? So kind of a sad thing. I was looking at another article it's I'm wondering if it's, you know, how the white clots are so prominent, have been so prominent in the autopsies and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's an article talking about unusual increases in excess neoplasm death rates among the young. And, you know, a neoplasm, you know, neo means new. So these are neoplasms are new and abnormal tissue growth. So I am wondering if that's what that is. It's saying that there was a sudden increase in them in 2021. Imagine that. And it was the deaths and excess all-cause mortality was in the 15 to 44-year-olds. So that, it's really strange. Well, you know, I guess the reason it hit that group so hard is because I think that's the primary age of the people lining up for the shots because they had to, you know, they were going after college kids and then they were going after people working. So, and it's saying that they can be cancerous or not, but most of the deaths noted cancerous neoplasms as the underlying cause. So, I mean, they know. They know this has to do with the shots. And, of course, it was Edward Dowd. I think he was obviously one of the first people to bring up the fact that, you know, the death rate was just so out of whack that it had increased so much, especially among the 15 to 44-year-olds. So I sure hope people are getting the information.
You were here last Monday, right?
Yep.
Okay. I thought so.
I was
just trying to figure out if we had to play one or two Mr. Broccoli's today.
Oh, yeah, just one, I think. We played two last week. So.
Yeah,
I've been working on my taxes today. And with the time change, it was staying lighter. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, it's 7 o'clock. So still daylight. It threw me off. Let's see. So what do you think about this? I know the eclipse thing. Have you read much into how it relates to, like, the Bible?
No, I sure haven't.
So it's saying God's judgment warning. Now, I like the health ranger, but I think sometimes he's good. Don't get me wrong. But you know who I'm talking about, right? Mike Adams.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everybody has their little tangents they go off on.
But he's pretty radical sometimes. But anyway, he's saying that April solar eclipse to cast darkness across 7 U.S. towns named Nineveh from the Bible.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay.
Not from him, but I heard of it.
Okay. So because somebody else had mentioned something about, like, there being an X over... I don't remember exactly what it was, and I'm thinking, good
between
grief.
Texas and Virginia, because that's where the 7 Ninevehs are.
Oh. Okay. I started to say I was trying to find, it says, as the path of totality extends across several states, including Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine.
Oh, I didn't realize it went all the way up to Maine. That's my mistake.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says many counties have declared emergencies ahead of the event. What the heck? I mean, is this not just an eclipse?
That's what I thought.
Set to pass. I don't get it. I mean, I know that here people have the hotels around this area and just anywhere where this thing's happening, they have jacked the prices up on hotels so much. I mean, they're making a fortune. My brother was like, Chrissy, you need to get that your stuff from your store cleaned out of that guest bedroom. He said you could probably rent it for $500 a night during this thing. And I'm like, are you serious? And he said, yeah, I'm serious. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So very interesting. So, I mean, how long is it supposed to last? Do you know that?
No, I don't.
You know, I think you know about as much as I do regarding it. I'm going to have to read.
No, I wasn't paying that much attention to it. I know it was there, but to me it wasn't big news.
Oh, my Lord. They're saying they're advising residents to stock up on food, water, and essential supplies for at least 3 days. What the heck? Oh, my goodness.
Are they expecting the electrical grid to be out for 3 days?
I've heard mention of that. But it's like, I also remember, was it last year? I think it was last year or the year before that they, it might have been the year before where they talked about that it was going to happen. And it didn't. So. It said, additionally, the interviewer brought up the Elias effect. It's A-L-L-A-I-S. That seems to alter the laws of physics during solar eclipse. A phenomenon that occurs during solar eclipses where strange occurrences or changes in behavior may be observed. The eyewitness encouraged others to look into the intriguing aspect of solar eclipses and not let misplaced fears deter them from experiencing such an awe-inspiring event. Okay, so the precision of a pendulum is typically explained by traditional science as the rotation of the Earth.
While you're reading that, I need a couple minutes real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay. Underneath the pendulum, causing it to trace a large circle on the ground. However, during an eclipse, this precision mysteriously reverses itself, defying conventional understanding of physics. So one paper from Scripps.org suggests that anisotropic dark slow acceleration could explain the Elias effect. This phenomenon occurs when the moon someone alters the gravity effects of the sun, potentially affecting the precision of pendulums. However, other researchers disagree with this explanation and argue that there is something else happening during eclipses. The interviewer mentions reading papers on the topic that suggest the sun's gravity well aligning with the moon's and Earth's could create a unique situation where gravity behaves in an unpredictable manner, affecting the precision of pendulums. Eeks, that's a little scary. The alley effect remains a mysterious phenomenon that scientists have been unable to fully explain. As researchers continue to study the enigmatic occurrence, one thing is certain, eclipses hold a unique power over our understanding of physics and the natural world. Yeah, I got to read more into eclipses because I don't know. Just kind of thought it was just, you know, when they cross each other's path, blocking each other out. I didn't think about all these other aspects of it. So it says, could gravitational changes result in earthquakes that happen alongside solar eclipses? This mysterious force has been observed and reproduced in various laboratories throughout history. Though its exact nature remains unknown, Adams asked whether these changes in gravity could potentially trigger fault lines, such as the New Madrid fault line in Missouri. Oh, my gosh, I live
on the New Madrid fault line. I am like an hour from New Madrid. That's scary. If tectonic plates are affected by shifts in gravity, it might cause earthquakes. While Adams did not predict an imminent earthquake, he pointed out that pendulums and other celestial bodies do exhibit strange gravitational behavior during eclipses. Many cultures have long feared eclipses due to their association with earthquakes and other natural disasters. Adams suggested that this connection could be more than just superstition, but rather a real physical phenomenon still not understood by modern science. He emphasized that gravity is not a force, but rather a curvature of space-time, which might explain why we don't feel its effects when experiencing falling weightlessness. In conclusion, the Elias effect and its potential connection to earthquakes during eclipses remains a fascinating and unexplained phenomenon. As our understanding of gravity continues to evolve, so too may our comprehension of these mysterious events that have captivated humanity for centuries. So I'm wondering, I mean, have earthquakes happened in the past when these eclipses took place? I mean, wouldn't that be one way of finding out? I mean, or is that maybe why they're considering this? I don't know. I guess we need to Google that and find out if any other of the other eclipses that's happened have triggered earthquakes. But that's a little unsettling.
I never tell people to Google things. I don't ever give people the advertisement.
Oh, sorry.
I just don't.
Yeah, do something else. But oh, I know. No, Google's frustrating. I generally go to DuckDuckGo, but even DuckDuckGo is frustrating sometimes too. But
I use Brave.
Brave? Yeah, I have that too. Yeah. I have that too. So I guess I could use that. But that's scary. I can't believe they mentioned the New Madrid fault. I mean, I am right on it. Jeez. That's not good. But I know, and like, we're one of the places where it's supposed to be, like, the strongest.
I wanted to ask you if you saw what China Mart and Target and a few others are planning to do now with their stores.
Oh, gosh, no. What?
The self-checkouts.
Oh.
The self-checkouts are going to make them a premium, and you have to pay for the service.
You got to pay to check yourself out?
Yeah, it's a subscription service, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they'll
give you
the privilege of using it now.
Yeah, I don't even shop at Target anymore. So screw them. I will not go in there. I went into Aldi's yesterday, and I think I'm done with them. You got to check yourself out there now as well. And it's so frustrating. I mean, God, I wish I had so much money because I'd put an end to all this. I would open up stores and go back to, put small town stores all over the place. I would put farms all over the place. I would just, everything they don't want us to do, I would do. I don't know why other people, I don't understand why these people that's, got so much money that they need something, need a place to put it. It's like, let's do these things, do the right things. I just don't understand, I love, Tony Robbins, but I'm wondering, why don't some of these guys, I think they're good guys. It's like, why don't they do that? Why don't they start looking at combating what's happening? So, very, very frustrating. I was at the, let me get back to it. Oh, I already said that. So, what's her face was, I just can't stand her. The judge,
Brown, is her last name Brown? She was arguing about. Yes. Oh. I mean, I don't know what her problem is.
Well, she's a Democrat, so that's what you should expect.
I guess that's it. And then you have, I mean, the fact that Fannie Willis. Oh, I mean, it's just a circus. I mean, honestly, the fact that she can still go after Trump with what she's pulled,
I'm still trying to understand how it is that she could stay on the case, but Nathan Wade has to be off of it. I don't understand that concept.
None of it makes any sense. I mean, it really doesn't.
I mean, if one is tainted, the other one is just as tainted. So I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. But there is, it looks like they're going to make Peter Navarro go to jail for a while.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm just waiting to see if they arrest Trump for having documents while he was president. But Brandon doesn't when he wasn't president at the time.
I mean, there is no way that they – how can that – I mean, that is going to be so out of line. I mean, because what they know now, too, about the documents that Biden had when he wasn't president.
Right.
I mean, my gosh. It just, I don't even know what to call the time that we're living in. At least Jack Smith, he didn't get such a good outcome, it looks like. So. I think they're saying, I think he's having trouble coming up with documents or something. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
So, oh boy, Biden met with Netanyahu. My gosh, yeah, that's kind of sad. Supreme Court denies Peter Navarro's bid to delay prison term. I mean, honestly, what kind of threat is he to society? Please tell me. You're
Peter
freaking
Navarro?
President. Yeah. I mean, you're sitting president right now is one of the biggest threats we have. Everybody pulling his strings or whatever, but. And Liz Cheney, she destroyed January 6th evidence?
Well, of course.
I mean,
because
how?
Because when the courts are rigged, you can do that.
Yeah, I started to say, man, Democrats can just do whatever they want. I mean,
yeah.
It's, you almost got to laugh. So just like, I mean, what Hillary Clinton did, I mean, that even, oh my gosh, that's where we should be going back to. I mean, she should have definitely been prosecuted. That was crazy. I think Nancy Pelosi should have been, something should have been done to Nancy Pelosi when she tore up the speech behind President Trump. I mean, that drove me crazy. I was like, that is so disrespectful. I don't know how, because people hate Trump so much, they don't care. They don't care what people do.
That's basically it.
Yeah. Very sad. But that is it. So how's your foot doing? Doing okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's just taken a while, but I'm all right.
Okay. Just trying to remember what else I was.
Well, I was going to let you have your segments first, but if you're done with the Christina segment, I can go ahead and get Mr. Broccoli out of the way. But if you have more
I want to
make sure you
have
all your topics out of the way first.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
And I have got it. Let me get to it. I've got it when you're. Oh.
Yep.
I've got it pulled up.
Oh, do you want me to go to it now?
Oh, you meant for me to go.
I didn't know if you had more topics or if you wanted to have me do Mr. Broccoli.
I mean, I'm sure I'll have some more here. I just am trying to get back to them and find them. So I had my head, I was so involved in doing my taxes, my brain's kind of scrambled right now. So I know there were things I wanted to talk about, and I'm just absolutely going blank. I should have written them down. But
so Brandon had a speech yesterday, and he was talking about how old and mentally unfit Trump is.
That's funny. Oh, my God.
I had to read that right. I had to reread it a few times just to make sure that I saw what I saw.
Oh, that's so funny.
But it says here, Brandon unleashed a series of cruel, quote-unquote, jokes targeting President Trump at the infamous gridiron dinner in Washington Saturday night, including calling Trump too old and mentally unfit to be president.
Oh, my gosh. That's truly funny. I wonder what kind of a response he got. Honestly. Wow. I wonder who told him to say that. So, I did. I remember now about, so Putin was reelected with a landslide, they say.
Yes, 87%.
I mean.
Is that believable?
I mean, I don't know. I mean. You know, it's got to make you wonder. So it's like, I mean, it's just, it's hard to trust. Obviously, it's hard to trust him. But I have, over the years, I've heard things about him that make me think that he's got more morals and better leadership. I don't know. I just wish I knew more, could understand. I'm never okay with war. You know, it's like, why did he choose to do that? I mean, did he choose to do, is he the one that started that?
Every country almost in the Western society is dead broke, and the one way out is to war themselves out. Because then they can get rid of population and then economies somehow spike upwards when there's a war.
I mean, do you think that possibly, well, no, I mean.
They expect to lose, don't get me wrong. But all these countries, you look at all these countries like Germany, England, U.S., France, I would say Canada, but I don't know if they're going to war with anybody. But you know, all these nations are just crippled financially. Nobody likes the leadership, so they're going to go together to fight in a war to try and drum up interest in these globalists.
Yeah.
Like somehow a war is going to save them from being hated.
I mean, it's just, sickening. So sickening what's taken place with these wars.
Yeah, they somehow think that if there could be a world war and the United States has to have a draft, that people are going to rally around Brandon because, oh, well, we have to protect the United States from Russia. You have to support the president. We can't have an election now. We can't have Trump come in. He doesn't know how to handle the war that I'm handling.
Mm. Yeah, that's my fear.
I promise you that's the way of thinking.
Oh, yeah. No, I would not put it past them to try to get us into war. I mean, we're basically kind of, I guess, already in some type of war, but I wouldn't put it past them to pull something like that to keep the election from happening.
They could suspend elections. You have the media lapdogs that will think that's the greatest decision anyone's ever made in the history of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are getting fed up. I forget what I was watching today. Somebody was interviewing different people, and they were going to former Democrats and they were asking them, they're like, who are you going to vote for? And they're like, President Trump. They're like, so you're not going to vote for Biden? They're like, no way. So.
Well, you don't find too many people that say, I voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020, and I am definitely going to Brandon this time. I have not heard that one person yet.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. That's true. That's a good point. It's like nobody from this side goes back to the other. That's for sure. I mean,
terrible, you wouldn't have Trump's base. The only thing with Trump's base is how many of them are going to go to Kennedy. That's the only part.
Yeah.
No one's going to Brandon.
No, right. And I think that Biden has lost a lot of people. I mean, like you said, he's still got that diehard group that's following him, you know.
It's not diehard Brandon fans. It's diehard anti-Trump people.
Yes. Yes.
That's all that is.
Like,
I don't know anybody
Brandon
is excellent. We have to stay the course. If someone's voting for Brandon and you ask why, they're just going to tell you how much they hate Trump.
Yeah.
Although it'll be hard to understand them because they still have a scam on their face.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I have been seeing people walking outside with them on, and I'm like, why? There was somebody walking down the sidewalk the other day, 2 days ago. They were alone walking down the sidewalk and had a mask on their face.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful day, and I'm thinking, why? So.
I actually did that once, and I bumped into somebody by accident, and they apologized, and I said, oh, that's okay, Democrat voter, I understand. And then they go, how do you know I voted Democrat? Well, because you have a scam on your face.
Exactly.
And they used a special F word and left.
Oh. You know, I was going to bring up, too, I'm suspicious of, you know, my friend's dad that was in the hospital and went in there for a bummed up knee, and they ended up telling me, you know, he needed the pacemaker. You know, I have to wonder if he really needed that. It just, you know, I don't trust the medical system anymore.
Well, in this day and age with all these blood clots, I don't, you're probably right, but I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, it could be legit.
Yeah.
They could have found some blood clots.
Well, no, they just said, well, you know, they just said that his heart, so what happened is he was kind of nervous and stuff, and, you know, they gave him an Ativan,
when he went in, he called the ambulance to come get him because his knee was hurting really bad, and he said he was dizzy. So he went in, and I think they gave him an Ativan to calm him down, which, you know, Ativans, they're like one of the worst drugs in the world. And I think, did I tell you that? The nurse, she has no idea the knowledge I have. And so I said, how do you guys know that the reason his heart stopped twice for 8 seconds while he was sleeping? I said, how do you know that that medication didn't cause that? And she said, oh, well, that medication can't suppress the heart. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh. I mean, if I could record this, I could probably take her to court. I mean, there is a warning, a box warning on that drug that says exactly that. I mean, it was just crazy. So I don't know. I just, but it's done. Nothing I can do about it now. You know, he had it done, but I was talking to a friend this weekend, and she's like, yeah. She's like, did they fall for it? And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, and she's a little bit older than me, and she said, I can't tell you how many of my friends have done the same thing. And I'm like, wow.
I don't know if this ever came in handy in a conversation with you, but anyone that has heart problems, you know that they should carry cayenne pepper with them, right?
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah, I learned that years ago. There was a doctor by the name of, it was Dr. Lou Niles, and it was, oh my gosh, this would have been in 2000, probably, I guess, the late, like 2008, 9, somewhere in there. And I was heavy into doing research. I was digging in, researching just about cancer in general, because I knew there were so many people that I knew personally that had it. And young kids. And I was like, you know, I got to dig in because the medical system does not have the answer for cancer. And so I really had gotten a lot of information. And one of the doctors that they sent me information on was this Dr. Lou Niles. And I contacted him and he gave me all this, you know, information. I have, I mean, piles. I probably have a stack of probably a 3-foot stack of papers that I printed from this guy. But yeah, cayenne pepper, because he brought up, what's the doc's name? He's called the herb doc.
Okay.
And I can't remember his name now. But he used cayenne pepper all the time for all kinds of ailments. But yeah, he said you stick it under the tongue and it'll, like, start the heart up. So is that what you've been told too?
Yeah. Yeah, the
basically,
hotter the better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think actually he used habanero peppers. Oh my God. Because you know how hot habanero peppers can be. But
right.
But yeah, I remember one of the stories was, he said there was, and I think he did a lot of his research, I want to say it was over in England, and there was one of his patients that hadn't been able to, I think that he had some kind of injury or something prior, you know, in the prior years, and for many, many years, he couldn't smell out of one side, like of his nose, and he made him like a cayenne pepper, like snuff or whatever. And he had him sniff that. And the guy started crying. And I'm like, yeah, crying because it was probably so hot. But he said, no, he was crying because he was so happy because he could smell again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, very interesting. So, and I know it'll stop bleeding, like if you cut yourself and you pack the cayenne pepper in there.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make you stop bleeding, but, you know, and cayenne pepper too is, I think it's good for the stomach. you know, when people have, I'm trying to think if it was ulcers. I think some of it can be, I think it can be good for the stomach as well.
Yeah, when I make spicy lemonade sometimes where I'll use mint, lemon, and cayenne.
Oh, really? I've never tried that, you know, that juice that they talk about where you put the cayenne pepper in there with the lemon. I think it's got lemon. I forget the whole. I've never tried that. I don't know if I'd like it or not. But does it taste? I guess it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's just a spicy lemonade, that's all.
And then the mint with it, I guess the mint would calm it down a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to try it. So. But I think the best thing for the stomach is the old tried and true treatment where you drink cabbage juice. Have you heard that one?
No.
Yeah, it's an old one. They for years.
Yeah, I don't
they
know how to juice a cabbage.
You know, I don't know if they just. I know you can buy it, cabbage juice, and I don't know. I don't know if they like put cabbage through a juicer or if they maybe cook it down. You know, like in water. I need to look that up because I'm curious about that now, too, that you say that. Because I know they have cabbage juice.
Well, there's a lot of fiber in cabbage, but I don't think cabbage waters down like lettuce does.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out because, I mean, cabbage does, I'm trying to think, does cabbage shrink down that much when you cook it? I don't think it does, really. How is cabbage juice made? We'll find out. Ah, juicer or blender.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think you could cook it
down. Yeah. Interesting. So they do just juice it. That's one thing I have never juiced. I did, I have been, I keep up with a guy called, his name's Jeff, and it's jeffjuices.com, but I keep up with him once in a while. He's got some good juices, but I've heard of this juicer before, and I think for my juice truck, it's probably the one I will try to get simply because, you know, when people are sick, especially people that have cancer, fresh juicing can really, really, you know, deliver the nutrients and stuff that they need. And the juicer called, it's just called Pure, P-U-R-E, and every component of it that touches any type of, it's a two process, so it's a truly a juice press to where it, I think it grinds up the vegetables and juices, and then it like presses them, and every piece that touches like food, it's made out of a really high grade of stainless steel, because which I know that that's going to be healthier. So I want to have one that's going to truly produce, and it produces the healthiest juice as well because of the way it does it. It doesn't damage, you know, it doesn't heat it up or anything or damage it like some can. But I love my Nama juicer, but the only thing is I hate the plastic parts, you know, because.
Yeah, it's just as hard to clean.
Yeah, I mean, they never look new again. It's like you can wash them with soap and water, and they still, like, have a film and stuff. And I've tried, like, putting a little bleach in them, and I'm thinking, this can't be good, you know? I hate that. So
Only thing is, the thing's kind of expensive, but it's cheaper than a commercial juicer. And I actually have a friend that has a little coffee shop over in Carbondale, and they do some fresh juices and smoothies. And she said as far as juices go, she said I had a commercial juicer and I hated it. She said I would literally just buy like two or three, you know, just like regular juicers and use those. So I don't know, but I'm just trying to research all that stuff because I've got to come up with a, you know, how much it's going to cost me to put the whole thing together. But that's why I'm thinking about starting out with just the, like the Cuban coffees and the drinks and the pastries, you know, the guava pastries and a few other things, and do the fresh pressed juices rather than go gung-ho with a whole bunch of stuff. So we will see, but I think people will fall in love with Cuban coffees. They're so good. I like coffee, obviously. So, but, you know, Cuban salads are good too. So if you just, I just have been like going to different sites of Cuban, truly authentic Cuban restaurants and just looking at what they offer and stuff. And food is yummy. So good.
Yeah, I understand.
Good. So Freedomizer site, she was telling me what was going on. It was just the bandwidth or something. She said she had to delete some stuff.
Yeah, our webmaster, we have to get a hold of her. There's Samantha, but then there's the web host. And the web host needs to open up some bandwidth so we can log in so we can get rid of stuff.
I gotcha. Oh, I know. Technology is great, but it's also a pain in the butt sometimes. I mean, my website for my jewelry, oh my gosh. It takes me, I finally got some more jewelry on my website yesterday, but it takes so long, you know, to take the pictures, then load them on, and then put all the descriptions. It's just like, good grief. I'm going to start working on my food trailer business. I said plan because this jewelry thing just is, I don't know. I just don't know how well it's going to do. Especially in this economy.
When's your target opening?
Oh, let's see. This is March. Boy, I'd like to be open by June. You know, I'd like to have something going. You need to be open in the summer and try to get to some events and stuff. So we'll just have to see. But I'm also willing to pull it down to the warmer areas if it gets too cold. When it gets cold, take it down there. but no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having it here, too, when it gets cold. I mean, shoot, I could set up a little fire pit or something outside so people can be warm while they're waiting on waiting on their goodies. But
cool.
I love the food trailers that have, like, little porches on the end of them. It's like got a little covered area.
Oh, all right.
But I would love, though, to find, I love the old vintage campers. It's just, it's hard to find one that's big enough. They've got a bunch of the small ones, but it's harder to find the vintage bigger ones. So I found one that I think it's too good to be true because it's on Marketplace and they haven't responded. I've been, you know, trying to get a response from them for several days, and there's nothing, so I think it must be a spam. It was like $2,000 is all. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I got to try to get that one. But let's see. Oh. I'll have to watch that later, what you sent me about Dementia Joe. Yeah.
Oh, that's the one where he was saying that Trump was too old and unfit for president.
Oh, boy.
Some people are going to believe that, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry, but Trump is, that is truly a bogus statement because Trump is sharp as a whip. I mean, I don't think he ever read, didn't he always just do all of his talks and everything, his speeches, just like, you know, without any prompts or props or, you know, I think he just can pull all that stuff out of his head. So I could be wrong, but I think I've heard somebody else, I think I've heard other people talk about that he is pretty sharp. And someone mentioned today, too, they said that he's a, what did they say? They said he's a better man than he is a leader.
Who, Brandon?
No, they were saying that about Trump.
Oh.
They said they thought he was a better man than he was a leader. I was listening to Patrick Bet David, and who did he have on his show? He was a comedian. I like the guy. I don't know. I guess I can see where he's coming from with that, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He's a good businessman, period. And he's a good negotiator. You know, he wants to get along with people. He doesn't want to fight. So I wish he would wake up, though, about the shots. I mean, that could really change.
That's his big thing.
That could change
so
much for him. Yes. I mean, we talked about that last week, about that statement he made. It's like, oh, why would you say that? But he did. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know.
He's smart, but he's not smart when it comes to medicine and stuff. But
he doesn't want to admit he got duped.
Yeah. I mean, most people aren't, you know. Most people don't study that stuff. Oh, well. Aw. One of my daughter's friends just posted a thing on Facebook about them losing their first baby. She was pregnant. Son of a gun. That's sad. Okay. Are you ready for broccoli?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
So this week's episode, we have G. Globalist on the wiretap. The great Pope summoned G. Globalist to go visit Mr. Broccoli to get him to do a humiliation ritual, kind of like how the Oscars went with John Cena. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that guy regrets doing that.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't regret his bank account, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But everyone knows that he's owned.
Yeah, for sure. They do now. For sure.
Okay, so I guess we're ready here. So, great Pope makes demands. Yeah, and you can watch this video and any other of our Broccoli Man videos on Rumble. And if you can, I always ask the for people to put comments, because I might get like one comment every 6 months. So if somebody has a Rumble account, please leave a comment, because people commenting and watching this really helps the algorithms. And I feel as though these videos deserve more than 20 hits.
I would agree.
So anyway, let's count it down. 3, 2, 1, action.
I am having to take another 5 days out of town and go down to Miami. I can't believe that Haiti has an issue with cannibals. Of course they are trying to get into the United States because Brandon will help them get into our country. These globalists will stop at nothing to bring in the new world order. I wonder who this could be.
Knock, green dude. We're here to make you an offer, sir.
Whatever it is, I am sure I am not interested. I never want to hear what you propose to me.
If you do not like it, you can tell it to the codpiece I'm wearing.
Now you look here, little biznitch. What you is finna do is sit down, shut your app, and sign the contract. From there, sir, we are bees make you a rich person, sir.
We have a special proposal for you, Mr. Broccoli. I was speaking with both the Black Pope and the Grey Pope. They are prepared to open a bank for you. It just takes some humility on your part to accept this money's.
I do not like this already.
Well, green dude, did you see John Cena at the Oscars, sir? We made sure that something ducker got paid for showing him's junk at the Oscars. We put him in a dress, then made him show the world him's kumquats.
So, Mr. Broccoli, we know how much you love your organic producers. The Great Pope had a very intriguing idea you may want to listen in on. He is prepared to offer you $300 million for this great offer.
This sounds like something I am not going to be interested in.
Hey green dude, we just paid out a couple $100 million to 2 basketball players in the NBA, sir. They are each getting $180 million for an incident we have devised. The best black basketball player will dunk over the best white player. The black player will then whip out his ice cream cone and proceed to urinate on the white dude. All the while he will sing I'm the warrior and then chant his country he is from. We are negotiating with the commissioner to only give him a 3-game suspension. We have also agreed to give the white player a Ferrari and he will get some great acting gigs coming up.
That's gross.
That is correct, Mr. Broccoli. That is $180 million gross before taxes. Actually, we have procured those monies to be tax-free.
I can't wait to hear this hot mess.
Well, Mr. Broccoli, we need to have a video of you improperly using cucumbers.
And, it's already a no.
Just think, sir. We not only have them coming out of all your orifices, but we can have you smoking some of the really good ish out of a cucumber, sir.
That is the most not interested I have ever been involved in.
Did we mention this is all organic?
That's right, green dude. We do not want to put the GMOs where the sun does not shine, sir.
Anyway, we need you to put on some ladies' lingerie, a bra and high heels while using said cucumbers. The Grey Pope also wants you to sing We Didn't Start a Fire.
The Black Pope also requests you make sure you take a photograph of you hiding one of your eyes and throwing up the Illuminati signs. They want the receipts that show you representing the fact you have been known, sir.
Why in the world would I be interested in ruining everything I ever worked for?
Mr. Broccoli, no need to be greedy. My man, you are getting $300 million tax-free, sir. That is a very fair compensation for you to receive for just a smidgen of humility.
That's right, green dude. And that would mean we would have a photograph of your junk on file, sir. That means we would have a photograph of everyone's junks in the United States.
You could then read her from crime fighting. You will be rich enough to not have to worry about what anyone else thinks of you.
For the rest of your life, someone might question if you are a male. Fortunately these days, everyone can be whatever they want and it is a hate crime to misgender someone. That is great news for females like you.
But you just misgendered me.
It's okay if we misgender you. We are the 1%, sir. Misgendering is only for dolts and nincompoops like yourself to keep each other busy so we can have our way with the global banking system without you futzing around. That is why we have ordered Google and Adobe to ban all photographs of white people, sir. Even Adol says that black people have more pain than white people so they can claim Adol works harder for black peoples. White peoples can feel guilty for causing the pain.
Now, Mr. Broccoli, you can cancel your plans this week. Next week you can put in your 2-week notice from fighting crime. This way they can celebrate you going out with a cake if they choose. Or perhaps they will just let you go early. Either way, this job will not be your life anymore. You will now be as part of us 1%.
And then we can take over the entire planet because a big sign of misses will be off the case. Then all that is left are something duckers like Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones proof negative, and Joe Rogan. We will have to deal with them later.
So Mr. Broccoli, it sounds as if you have agreed to our deal. May you please sign this contract? We can then have the monies wired to your bank account. We will then arrange the CIA to go to your house and set up all the producers.
Our first order of business will be is to get more companies to do what Tyson Foods is doing. We will have all the jobs go to illegals only. All United States citizens will be is on unemployment so we can hire the undocumented friends of America can make about 1/3 of the people's thems are firing. Then we can fire all the CEOs and only hire trans or black peoples as management. We didn't start the fire, green dude.
There is no way I am going to do any of this.
Let me get you my pen so you can sign this.
No, thank you. It does not matter how much money. I am not giving up to the New World Order.
You cannot be this serious, green dude. That is generational wealth, sir. You can do lots of things. All you have to do is get out of our way and experience a very simple demand, sir.
But what would the money mean if you are going to bring in a cashless society and deem our money worthless unless we get a microchip?
Well, Mr. Broccoli, you would continue to keep your monies provided you convert it to the new world digital currency and accept a microchip. Plus it will be all digital so you will never have to worry about the 99% stealing it.
You just answered my question. So that means I would have to get a microchip. And the 1% can still steal my money.
But green dude, we still are in desperate need of a picture of your junk. The Black Pope and the Grey Pope have placed a big priority on us capturing a photograph of your junk.
No. No means no.
Yes. Yes means yes.
Mr. Broccoli, even I would not be able to turn down 300 million. That is way too much money, sir. Please think about the repercussions. You have made a lot of enemies by saying no.
My biggest enemy would be disrespecting God. What good is money if I have to take the mark of the beast? And you have compromising pictures of me just for your enjoyment?
That tears it, green dude. You keep stepping in it. Now you are going to make the Black Pope and the Grey Pope cry like little buyer's niches. How can you just stand there like an evil villain while the most powerful peoples in the world are expunging liquid in their underoos?
I can stand here knowing that I am fighting the globalists and will not besmirching our Lord and Savior.
Our Lords and Saviors are not happy with you. They will smite you with the maximum amount of rage.
Hey everyone. We all need to learn how to say no to the New World Order. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to be aware of. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. There are a bunch of other shows on freedomizerradio.com. Just look for their schedule.
Hey, bunghole. You are not going to do any advertisements for freedomizerradio.com in our presence. You need to stop making enemies by going against the New World Order.
Mr. Broccoli, we're going to fund and fund more George Soros appointed attorney generals and prosecutors. We're going to nail your nether regions to the cross for backsissing and double-crossing us. How dare you refuse to comply with an order from the great Pope?
Hey, green dude. Your mama is just like a bicycle tire, always flat.
Okay, so.
that was a good one. I like that one. Oh.
Yeah, I hope it was okay.
I think they can buy anything with money.
Yeah, I tried to put as much stuff as I could in that one.
Yeah, you did. You did good. A lot of good things in that one. So, I just, they're even getting away with that, paying people off. I mean, because they know they've got records of Biden and, you know, accepting money, but it's like the DOJ is just so crooked. So,
were you surprised he turned down $300 million?
No, Broccoli Man will always turn down the money. Always,
a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I'd turn it down too. So, no money is worth losing your soul, that's for sure.
Well, but those that don't have a soul would never understand.
That's true. Unfortunately, I think there are a lot of beings on this planet that don't have them. That's for sure. Lots of entities. I was listening to Michael Singer.
Okay.
I hadn't listened to him that much. Do you know who that is?
No.
I like him. I like what he has to say and stuff, but sometimes he's hard to listen to. Because he's hard to understand. He speaks so fast. But I'm trying to figure out, I think I had already found him, and I think I just didn't realize who he was. But Michael Singer, he's just into, you know, trying to teach people how to, like, be in the moment and, you know, tells people how to let go of their ego and guilt and just things like that. So, Singer. I made pineapple juice yesterday. Man, that stuff's sweet. I know, though, down in Florida, I can't figure it out because I know that down in Florida, when we go down there every year, there's a stand, and the guy, he does fresh pineapple juice, and I'm thinking he must put, like, I think carbonation or something in it. It's just so good. But, man, straight pineapple juice, fresh squeezed, it can be sweet.
Well, you can always try to put some seltzer water in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because it's almost, it's just almost too sweet for me.
Have you ever had an egg cream soda?
Oh, yeah. I mean, years ago.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite drinks. Then people don't realize there's no egg and no cream.
Ew. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I do remember cream soda.
It's basically chocolate milk, but carbonated.
Yeah, you're talking about the chocolate soda.
Yeah.
Is that that's the one? Oh, yeah. No, that stuff was good. That's good. What did they put in that then? It didn't have cream. It didn't have milk in it.
Oh yeah, you could put chocolate milk in there.
I thought the chocolate soda had to have some kind of milk in there.
Yeah, that's the cream, and then if you want, you could do chocolate, or if you have strawberry syrup, you could do strawberry Bosco if you want, or Yvette syrup, or whatever flavor you want. You could do that.
And I remember the root beer floats. All that stuff. But, you know, at least back then, I think, like when I was a kid, there weren't so many, like, chemicals and stuff. It was more pure just sugar and, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. They've just allowed too many chemicals into the food supply.
My new thing with bread is I'll eat bread now if it's from Europe.
If it's not bleached,
and it doesn't have the synthetic ingredients in it, and they're not allowed GMOs or pesticides, like Italy, for example. I showed you that one pasta.
Yeah. So you can get bread fresh enough from over there?
Oh, I've seen stuff that's made in Italy and made in France, and I bought it, and my blood sugar didn't spike.
True.
I'm not saying it's great, but my blood sugar didn't spike, so there's that.
Okay. Well, I've always heard that sourdough will not.
Right, yes.
Like. Okay.
Well,
so you've heard the same.
But
thing.
Then again, there are people that make bleached sourdough, and then they add the synthetics in there, and I won't touch that.
I guess that would be true. I always buy unbleached flour, organic unbleached. I've got, eventually, if I need enough of it to make homemade stuff, there's a company north of me somewhere. I've got the name written down. It's a smaller farm, and you can get your flour and stuff from them, but you have to buy, like, you know, a ton of it. And I don't need that much yet. But we do have some decent, the health food store here, the little organic health food store, they do have a couple of batches of unbleached organic flour that's really good.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's, yeah, I remember when I used to, even like coffee filters and stuff, you know, yeah, people need to stop buying the bleached stuff, that's for sure.
Hey, I will tell you, though, one of my favorite fruits I found this weekend at the organic, at the farmer's market.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Well, you know how the wiretap likes his kumquats. So... There are lemon quats, and there's also mandarin quats.
Really?
Mandarin quats are my favorite. Those are the only ones my wife will actually eat.
Huh. I mean, I've never seen those. That's interesting.
Yeah, the mandarin quats are a little bit bigger than kumquats, and the lemons are just lemon-flavored in the size of the regular kumquats.
Huh. Interesting.
But the good thing about the kumquats, though, is that you're supposed to eat bitters every so often, and the skins of the quats are enough of a bitter to really help your gut.
Oh, okay. So the skin is considered bitters. Okay. I did not know that.
Have you ever tried to eat a kumquat skin without the fruit?
No.
Yeah, it can get bitter.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that.
The lemon quat skins can get pretty tart, I'll tell you that.
I bet.
I tell you, lemons are one of those things, though, man. Everybody needs to drink a little bit of lemon water each day.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I bought some Meyer lemons a couple days ago, and I forgot I have them. I have to start using them.
Yeah, they're so good. I mean,
once you eat Meyer lemons, it's hard to eat the other ones.
Yes, it's true. It
oh
is
my
very
gosh,
true.
Meyers are so good.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. I mean, by now I would think most people would know that, but I mean, just a lemon in fresh water is, you know, it's good for so many things. And it's
well,
so easy.
Well, if you have it first thing in the morning, you're supposed to put a splash of extra virgin olive oil in it.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence. You know, I don't know about the oils. I know there's a lot of people doing that now, but I'm still on the fence about it, so I don't know. I mean, I do know that.
I mean, you drink it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get really good raw, like, you know, olive oil and stuff from small plantations, I think probably could be good for you. I know my Persian friends, they always talked about that. And a guy I knew from Syria who had a restaurant here, he said, we used olive oil for everything. You know, they would take tablespoons of it. And he also talked, though, too, about when they were kids, how in Syria they had fields of, I guess, hemp growing.
Okay.
And that they would eat the hemp seeds. That was really, really good for you, too. So I don't know. I guess he just meant regular hemp seeds. I don't know. But I do know he always bragged about the olive oil, about how good it was for you. Because, you know, obviously Mediterranean places always on their hummus, you know, they always pour that good olive oil on top of it. So I love a really good hummus. But the secret to a good hummus is you can't buy canned garbanzo beans or, you know, beans, chickpeas. You got to get the bean and you got to cook it yourself. Makes a world of difference. So I've tried it both ways, and the can never makes a good hummus, in my opinion.
Okay. I've never tried to make my own.
Yeah, you know, you just cook the hard beans like you would any other bean and then mash them up for your hummus. Grind them up. You will be pleasantly surprised.
All right, let's see what we have for clips. I wanted to play this video for you about the Arizona has the first 15-minute city in America.
Are you serious? This
yeah.
For real? Oh,
yes.
Lord. Oh, my gosh.
A Broccoli Man didn't make this cartoon. It's real.
Wow.
I'll play it.
This brand new rental community in Tempe has all the amenities, fitness center, dog park, outdoor kitchens, but something's missing.
So there are no cars in this community at all.
Isn't it great?
Cul-de-sac is the first community in the U.S. designed and built specifically for car-free living. Co-founder Ryan Johnson says the demand is strong.
Every generation, and including 90% of Gen Z, would like to pay more to live in a walkable neighborhood.
Retail, restaurants, and to start nearly 200 apartments, all within steps of each other. No cars means no parking spaces, no garages.
Because we don't have residential parking, it opens us up to have 55% landscape space, and we get to add so much to the neighborhood.
Like social spaces around every corner. The complex is strategically located right next to the area's light rail system. All residents get a free pass. The first 200 also get a free electric e-bike, and a partnership with Lyft gets them discount rides. Residents often gather near the retail stores, which focus on small businesses. Jada Stratman is moving both her Home Sense business and herself in.
It's not as like affordable out here as it was a few years ago, you know. And having that opportunity to live and work where you are and just have it as one, that's perfect.
Walkable neighborhoods are all well and good when the weather's fine, but temperatures here in the summer can sit over 100 degrees for weeks at a time, and that'll be the real test.
Okay. So, yeah.
I did see that. I know what you're talking about. I didn't realize it was in Arizona. For some reason, I was thinking it was in California, so that's in Arizona.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I
it's
saw
so
that.
It's so liberal, though.
Like, oh, I'm like, I would hate that. I mean, why does anyone have to depend on someone else or public services for anything?
Because they could charge more in taxes and everybody pays for it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, people are crazy if they think that they can rely on especially government, you know, organizations and stuff. There's just no way. That's the last thing I want to do. The very last thing I want to do.
So did you hear about Advil going woke?
Advil?
Yes.
You mean the... No.
Yeah, so allegedly people have tolerated more pain for generations, and it's because of white people and because of the pain that black people endure, that Advil's there for black people.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll play you a video by the Quarterling. He went through it today or yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Welcome, everyone. Jeremy here from the Quartering. And, of course, Advil, you know, the pain reliever. You know, when you're hungover or maybe you get a little sore back or, you know, you're overweight and 40 going on 41 and you thought running with your dog on an agility course was a great idea and then you fell and hurt your knee, but you don't want to tell your wife about it because they'll make fun of you for being old. You know, that stuff that you take, right? Well, apparently now it's gone woke because why wouldn't it? It's now launched a campaign to achieve what they call pain equity. Apparently, you can't get Advil. What? I wish I could understand how this stuff happens. I mean, I half expect to see an LGBTQ version of Advil this coming up June. You know, rainbow Advil, so it looks like Skittles. You know, all this kind of stuff, because we absolutely need it. All these companies doing this stuff, by the way, is exactly why I started Coffee Brand Coffee. You guys all know that. You know, you're like, what? You know, what? Jeremy has a coffee company? Yes, I do. And we're not just some dropship outlet. We handle everything from roasting to fulfilling to customer service, all our own staff right here in the U.S. of A. And I just launched a new Buyers Club, Jeremy's Club, totally free to enter, by the way. This is a way for us to give back to all of our customers. It's called Jeremy's Club, and you can join it by going on the site, click the button. It's really easy. It's just like Kohl's Cash or anything like that. But you get 1,600 points just for signing up. So if you're a customer, an existing customer, or you're thinking about trying us out, get the points. Sign up, get the points. You can spend it on all the products on our website. Also, if you're looking for a suggestion, we have just improved our Roaster's Choice program. It is our monthly coffee subscription club. It's a different ultra-small batch coffee every month. 50% off your first month. Give it a try. And everybody that signs up in March gets our cool founder's coin and a signed thank you letter from me, an actual signature, not a photocopied one. I hand-signed them all. So try out our Roaster's Choice program. I think you're really, really going to like it. Now let's get to how Advil got woke. Here's the video ad, and we're going to take a look at the website associated.
Believe me when I say.
I'm in pain.
In a study.
Believe me when I say.
Hold on.
I'm in pain.
in an Advil study, 74% of black people said there is bias in how pain is diagnosed and treated. Literally what? Go buy Advil and take it. There is no diagnosis needed. Are you sore? Because when I'm sore, I just go to the cabinet. Now I'll have to find a generic Advil, which won't be hard to do. It's so easy to replace these companies. Like, there's generic Advil, just buy that. Yeah, you don't need the name brand. It's all the same. It has to be exactly the same. That's the beauty of generics. 74%? What? How would they even know how white people are treated or Asian people? How would they know there is a bias? What? How would you even know? And then they have 3 in 4 black people suffering from pain believe there is a bias from how pain is treated. Believe it. There's no evidence. This is absurd. Now there's just no evidence. Now we're not even going to... Have you signed up for Jeremy's Coffee Club yet? I'm going to leave a link in the description. Make sure you get that. There's no evidence. And then they spent all this money to launch an entire website called BelieveMyPain.com. What? In a recent study, Advil surveyed 2,000 Americans about what their experiences were when seeking pain care and treatment. Bro, you sell Advil. You don't have to see a doctor to get Advil. You can just go to the store. They sell it at the truck stop. You know, right next to those stay awake forever, but it's totally not speed, but it is stuff. You can go buy Advil literally anywhere. You can get Advil in more places than you can get ammo. Anywhere you can buy TP, you can buy Advil. You don't need a doctor. 74% of people said there was bias. What? What bias? Then 53% of black people suffering from pain said they didn't go back for treatment after their negative experience. Well, here's what I'll tell you. It's not just black people, okay? Doctors now, because pain is hard to gauge, even when I go, okay, every year or two, I get a gout flare-up. It happens every year or two during the summer when I'm going to too many festivals and I'm drinking too many sugary drinks and too much alcohol and too much red meat. I do it to myself, okay? The offshoot of that, though, is it's extremely painful. I can barely walk, and it is a constant, unrelenting pain in my big toe. It doesn't go away. You can't put ice on it. You can't put heat on it. You can't do anything. The only thing to do is to get a prescription for some pain pills and ride it out. Now, there's other stuff you can get, I think indomethacin or something, and then there's some other quick thing they give you, a couple tabs to run it out. But even that takes a day or two, sometimes 3 or 4 to even clear up. And for those 3 or 4 days, it's excruciating, okay? Every time I go to the doctor, and I've had it probably 10 times in my life, they know exactly what the deal is. They know exactly what the symptoms are. They know I have it. It's on my records. They can look at my toe, and it's bright red, and my foot's swollen, and they still are weird about giving me pain pills. Because that's how doctors are now. Because too many people abuse it, and too many people, every time I've talked about this, they make me feel like I'm a pill head when I go to the doctor. Because I go to the doctor once in every 2 years, and I'm like, hey, I need pain pills because, you know, I can't sleep, I can't work, I can't walk, I can't do anything, you know. But they treat me like I'm an addict. And I'm white. Although, who knows what white even is. To achieve equitable pain care and treatment, we must listen and believe black people when they say they're in pain. I would like to know who these doctors are who see a black person and say, oh, they're lying about their pain. And by the way, none of this, it's not that they did experience. This is not a study that says, oh, they definitely did experience bias. It's that they feel that they were. Based on what? Based on the fact that a large portion of that community has been conditioned to seek racism everywhere in their life. Because I've seen it happen numerous times. Oh, that's right. They go right to the, it's a race issue. It's a race issue. With no evidence whatsoever, and everyone just shuts up and they get nervous and they get fidgety and they don't want to get called that. So then they get what they want. All right. Not everything's a race issue. They launched a whole damn website to for this propaganda. Myth from 1845 to 1849. The myth that black people feel less pain was indoctrinated into the health practices. Yeah, you're talking about 200 years ago? You're worried about 200 years ago. And again, by the way, you don't need to see a doctor to get Advil. You're talking about the Tuskegee experiments? It's Advil! You take it when you're hungover and you're a little sore. I don't even, like, none of this is based in fact. None of this is based in, we sent 200 white people in to the clinic and 200 black people into the clinic with the exact same symptoms, right? And 23 black people got prescriptions and 75 white people got them. That's what you would call proof, right? That would be proof of bias, right? We sent the same doctor 10 white patients and 10 black patients over a period of 2 months so he wouldn't notice or she wouldn't notice, and this is the data. That's how you prove it. And then all that would really do is prove that one doctor might have a race issue, right? And that's not okay. But they aren't interested in actually proving it. They'll just put pie charts and graphs. And in a recent study that we did to support our study to sell more Advil to the black community, do you think black people look at this crap and they're like, man, Advil's a real one. They're invited to the cookout. I'm going to buy Advil now instead of whatever other pain reliever. Who is this for? I know I've got black viewers. I have at least 9 black viewers, okay? I know damn well you don't look at this and think, wow, Advil's got my back. I'm going to buy some pain pills from them. This is for white people. That's who this is for. Black people represent a very small percentage of the customer pie, okay? This is to market to white people. Advil is using black people to make money against their will. I don't know. Was there a name for that? Now, is it? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking questions. They're putting all these black people's stories up. I don't know if they paid them. And they did it to sell Advil to white people. Equitable pain relief? Well, it looks like another perfect opportunity to install the Veebs app. Code 4444 when you, if you made it this far and you don't have Veebs on your phone yet, download it. You can start scanning your products and you can start weeding out companies like this. There's a million other options for Advil, for pain relief, and I'll just find one tomorrow and that'll be it. And that'll be it and I'll just be gone. So I hope this virtue signaling was worth it. Oh yeah, and don't forget to sign up for Jeremy's Club. All races are welcome at the same price. Well, the club's free. Talk to you soon.
All right, so on that, I want to show you some Sky News Australia is doing some good stuff showing libs. So I want to play a recent clip, but if you have comments about the quarterling, go ahead.
No, that I just, I guess nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore, and I just, it's like, I mean, do most people, I think there's got to be such a small percentage of people that would remotely be accepting of, something like that. I don't know. It's goofy.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that would say, well, the pain I have as a black person is attributed to white people. So.
Yeah. Seriously.
Even though I had an old basketball injury where where I tripped over somebody and my ankle was rolled and I had to give up my college career. Even though I tripped over a black person, that's a white person's fault.
Yeah. Oh, geez. You know, I will tell everybody, anybody that doesn't want to take Advil now. you know, there is, have you ever heard of a product called Wobenzyme?
No.
So I had the best doctor. It was before COVID hit. He was, I don't remember when he retired. It was soon after his wife died. God love him. It really, really hit him hard because they weren't, you know, very old. But anyway, I remember him telling me about a product to go get for like pain, especially like for athletic, like when you hurt something like your back or something like that. Not necessarily for like headaches, but if you strain something, if you pull something, there is a product called Wobenzyme, and I think a Garden of Life might produce it, but it's a box of it's a bottle of basically their systemic enzymes, and they're really good ones, and I will tell you it works. So basically, and in Europe, that's what they use for pain. So what it is, it's systemic enzymes, and what you have to do is you basically have to take them on an empty stomach. So I think a bottle is about $30 and you get like 100 pills, and they're not very big. But so basically if you pull your back or strain something and you know you're hurting, if you will take three of those pills on an empty stomach with a glass of water, it will take the pain away. And you can take several of them. So, you know, if the pain continues, you can then, you know, you can take more. You can take three more, like in another hour. So in Europe, they literally prescribe a pretty large number of them for people who have like a broken bone or something. They have them take that instead of like pain pills. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, you don't want to, you know, systemic enzymes, you don't want to take them all the time because things that your body produce, you know, you want to let your body produce them. It's just like anything. If your body produces it and you start supplementing with it, your body will stop producing it. You don't want that to happen. So, but it's just Wobben, let's see, Wobben, Zyme. I believe is how you spell it. It's in like a red and white box. But I would tell everybody, it's a good product to have around. So. Oh, he taught me about that. And French green clay. French green clay is good to pull, you know, poisons and stuff out of you.
Okay, that one I've never heard of. I know of wormwood and bentonite clay and things like that, but not that.
Yeah, French green clay I think is a little bit cleaner and safer to use than the bentonite. Bentonite, whatever it's called. Yeah, like you can, you know, if you get a spider bite, same thing. It's same basic thing as those, only I think it's supposed to be a little purer and better. But it's harder to find too.
So let's see what else we have here. So, let's see. Oh, I wanted to play the libs in Sky News Australia.
Now to a woman who has been failed by the education system, her parents, society. We keep hearing about how smart and savvy Gen Z and millennials are. Sure, they can name 40 pronouns, but how is their financial literacy? How are they with the simplest tasks? Watch this and try to work out whether she's for real or trolling us.
With my credit card, I max that out to $4,000. What do you mean you max it out? Max it out or maxed it out?
So my max, I got confused with the credit debt and credit limit. So my parents got me a credit card, and I ended up getting a max credit limit of $8,000. So I could spend up to $8,000. That's what that means, right? So I would use it, and I would take my boyfriend. We would just started dating. We would go out.
It's $12,500.
On it now?
Yeah.
Well, when I looked at it last, yeah.
Continue.
Me and my boyfriend, me and my friends, we would go out, and I'm like, oh, I'll pay for everybody. I got it. I'll spend the money. Don't worry about it. It's just a credit card. So I would pay and pay and pay and pay, and then I called my mom one day, and I wanted her to be proud of me. So it's just like, hey, I've got $4,000 credit on my credit card. And she's like, credit limit or credit debt? I was like, what's debt? And she's like, oh, that's bad. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. So it's $4,000 debt then? She's like, that's bad. Why did you do that? I'm like, I thought that was good. And she's like, no, your credit limit at the time, it was $8,000. So I was like, okay, well, the credit limit's $8,000. That's good, right? And she's like, yes, but you were $4,000 in debt.
I don't know what to say, really. What is debt? Okay, now COVID broke many brains. You see these folks even now wearing masks outdoors, wearing masks in cars by themselves in their own car. They smell of hand sanitizer. You can smell them coming. And they like to scold their friends and family. Check out this woman.
A few weeks ago, I found out that the person that I love most in this world is no longer masking. Their entire family, including four small children, have stopped masking. And yesterday I texted her and I said, hey, I can't get past the fact that you all are no longer masking. Like, with everything that's happening in the world right now, with COVID, with RSV, with measles, with everything that's coming back, not masking is wild behavior to me. Like, community care is important to me. I need to know that the people in my life care about their health and the health of the people around them. To which I received a 3.5-page dissertation justifying their behavior.
I wouldn't need 3 pages. I'd limit it to 3 words. Get stuffed, loser. But let's hear more from this woman who responds to her friends who have told her it's not logical to keep little kids masked forever.
My personal favorite was paraphrased, you couldn't possibly understand because you don't have kids. It's illogical to expect children to continue masking and stay in lockdown. So I responded and I said, you know, as I already stated, it's your choice to make. I'm sure you will do everything you can to keep your family safe. The best thing for me right now is to take a step away from this relationship. I love you all, but I have to take care of myself first and foremost. I hope you understand. And she said, sure, I can't force you to stay. And I'm telling you this because I know I'm not the only one out here who is struggling with people in their lives that they care about very much, that are no longer taking mitigation efforts. I can't have people in my life that make me feel unsafe. And they live on the other coast. But that's not the point. The point is, if I had the option to be around them right now, I couldn't, because I wouldn't feel safe. And that means something to me.
It's becoming impossible to figure out what is real and what is satire. Remember, she started that rant by saying that this person is the person she cares about most in the world, and she's choosing to cut her out of her life because she's not masking her little kids on the other side of the country. My God. Now to California, where it is a free-for-all when it comes to thievery. Watch this, and you soon realize why an increasing number of retailers are closing up or putting everything, including toothpaste, under lock and key.
That was a good board, huh?
just broken activities right here.
I don't understand why didn't you come with a bag? Hey, you want to look up on that right there and like the third line.
Talking about entitled thieves, check out this dude and how indignant he is about being confronted about his thievery. How dare a car owner object to him trying to steal his tires? He was only going to borrow them.
How's it going, sir? What are you doing?
Taking your tire.
You're taking my tire?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Then why is that?
My tire's gone.
Your tire's gone? So you guys just take the other people's tire?
Something like that.
I don't think you're going to take it. I'll tell you that right now.
Why's that?
I'll tell you you're not going to take it.
Why's that? You're going to pick it up and you're going to hold it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, no problem.
You don't do that to people's car.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You don't do that to people's car. So I just want to let you know. I just want to let you know that I have police coming on the way.
All right, cool.
People don't do that. Go into other people's car and
why
just take it.
Why are you trying to distract me from getting away, sir?
You know, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you that right now. You see this? Yeah. I got cops coming right now. I don't think you'd get far, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, dude. That's why I brought my truck here, I guess, okay?
Yeah.
If I wanted to just steal your tire, yeah. I would put it in the shopping cart.
Yeah, I think you just tried that, though, right?
I'm not trying to steal your tire.
You're not trying to steal my tire?
No.
Okay.
I was going to take my rim off my truck and put it on your truck.
Sure, buddy.
Borrow it and then bring it back.
Oh, okay. That's what it is, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's almost believable.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
But that one from California that is really upset because her best friend lives on the East Coast and is seen with pictures not wearing a stamp. And she's in California, and that's too stressful.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the idiocy in this world is just too much.
Well, like I said, those are the people that will, they will take a bullet for Brandon. That's how serious
for Brandon,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You're not getting through to those people. I don't care what you do. They're done.
They're where they want to be. They found the little world they want to exist in. It's like, yeah. By the way, did you know that Mercola's website, it's all free again?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The only reason he did that for a little while, you know, was because they were censoring him.
Right.
But he announced that he's making everything available again. So all the articles and everything, it's free. Everybody can go to Mercola.com again and get all the information. So I met him once. I went to one of his kind of like seminars or whatever. He's a pretty nice guy. Pretty knowledgeable. I mean, obviously very knowledgeable. But it was, it's good to know. It's good that he was a regular, you know, MD. And then turned into the natural side of it. I like when that happens because it's like they have, you know, both sides of it. I know he said he just got tired of not helping people. So, God.
All right, let's see what else we have here. So, Charlie Kirk was talking about how Trump was lied to about the gene therapies. We can listen to that real quick.
Oh, okay.
Approaches on certain issues, but there is this idea that you're either part of the regime, which is this kind of Western government collusion that's going to keep the failed project of neoliberalism going through brute force. And then there's just kind of this group, I think the majority of people that are seeking the truth, that love the truth. You could call it seeking enlightenment. I don't love that term. But they that we want to try to get answers and a restoration of the form and the structure of government that we once enjoyed. We might not have enjoyed it totally in our lifetime, but we know it's possible. And so we want a reset, and not the great reset. We want a reset around the promises of kind of Western constitutional order, where the people are the sovereign, where we have the rule of law, checks and balances, where our leaders don't just, they're not able to lie with us with total impunity. And so I think it's really exciting. I mean, I'm talking to people that 5 years ago we would have considered on the other side of the aisle, and we see things far more similarly than we ever have.
Yeah, it's curious. It's been a fascinating and intriguing odyssey for me, which I know that many of the people that have always existed in, should we call it, the conservative, libertarian, Christian spaces that I imagine you are more native to, always regard as a kind of red pilling for me. Oh, Russell Brand, red pilled by this, you know, they say. But I feel that I've always been pretty vehemently anti-establishment. I've always been very pro-individual sovereignty. I've always been anti-corruption, but I suppose culturally, I was, for example, moving through Hollywood, being in movies, participating in the world that is governed by the kind of metropolitan media values. And of course, I'm, you know, as you perhaps are aware, I'm a recovering addict. So certainly when it comes to hedonism and the kind of ideas you might associate with that, I've certainly lived in the kind of spaces that are defined by that. Charlie, can we, like, first of all, look at a couple of contemporary stories? Like this Boeing, like we're talking about John Barnett's self, death by his own hand, or whatever you want to call it. It's very convenient for Boeing that a man who consistently testified against their safety from a position of some experience and authority is now unable to testify further. When you see a story like that, what's your assessment of it, Charlie?
Well, you can't help but think, is there foul play involved? Again, I don't know. I know none of the details. I know nothing, and I don't want to speculate beyond that. But, you know, those of us that love the truth and those of us that are kind of combining forces, we see a pattern. And I believe God made us in a way to recognize pattern, and patterns and pattern recognition is important, which is when you see kind of unusual glitches in how things should operate. For example, I mean, when you see whistleblowers at the origination of the spread of COVID just disappear in mainland China, and we're just told, oh, no, it's just fine. You know, happens all the time that scientists just kind of just disappear. Or when Epstein, quote unquote, killed himself in a prison cell. And again, I don't know anything about this. It could just be that this guy was dealing with mental health issues and the pressure was too much. I know nothing about the details there, but it smells. And by the way, the same thing with Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law that's connected to the Chinese Communist Party shipping company. I don't know if you saw that story in Texas. It was I think her something Chow, where she just, I suppose, got into her Tesla and went backwards into a lake. And suspicious, it's being investigated as a criminal matter in Texas. Again, I don't know if foul play was involved there, but we're starting to I think people now have the courage to put one and one, two and two together and say, are there other clandestine subterranean forces that are trying to remove truth tellers, whistleblowers, or threats to their current power structure? And or do they just want to try to go back to this idea that, you know, dead men tell no lies, or dead men are not able to testify? So I don't know what to make of it, Russell, except for the fact that in the new kind of the new normal, when I see a story like this, I immediately start to suspect foul play more than just the narrative that we're being fed. And that is largely because we have been routinely manipulated by the mainstream apparatus, by the establishment, which is the term that I love that you used. And again, it could be that the normal explanation is the normal explanation. But if anything, if there's any lesson out of the last 4 years, after 15 days, the slow to spread, it's that there's almost always more to the story than what the establishment is telling us.
When there are paradoxes embedded even within that story, I wonder what we can learn from then. I understand that you, as my guess is that you're sort of a pretty pro Trump person, and I know in the media space that I operate in, Trump is regarded just generally as a hero. My own political allegiances lie more in the diversification and decentralization of power wherever possible, in order that the sovereignty of the individual is regarded as sacred, and I mean that literally, as well as in a way that is politically useful. And so my support of anyone that claims from within this system that they could make significant change is always tentative, but probably I'd be more pro Bobby Kennedy than Trump. I'd love to know what our audience think. I know that most of our audience are pretty pro Trump. But when it comes to, like, you brought up the pandemic and what an incredible journey of learning it afforded all of us. See how Trump maintains a degree of credit for the efficacy of warp speed while clearly caught in the many Americans that now are furious about what happened in the pandemic period, who might loosely be corralled under the term anti-vax. How do you see that contradiction playing out for Trump, taking credit for the success of the vaccine, courting the support of anti-vaxxers?
Yeah, it's a very fair and important question, Russell. So let me just state my opinion. You know, I was against the lockdowns, the masks very early, never took the mRNA shot called a vaccine. I think it was a huge mistake. I believe we were lied to by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. And so I see that. That's my opinion. I think, you know, the audience would largely agree with me on there. And as far as with President Trump's record, I do want to just make it clear. He never forced the vaccine. He never was going to have any sort of punitive sort of measures. He also, very early, his instincts were right, and I wish he would have trusted his instincts more. He was on how we can't lock down the country. Unfortunately, he was almost enveloped, and he was suffocated by the medical bureaucrats around him. And so it was this kind of slow squeeze. It was the boa constrictor of the CDC and FDA here in the States, and the NHS would be the equivalent in your country. So as far as how President Trump navigates it, I did an entire podcast episode, Russell, a couple days ago, where I cautioned President Trump as a friend and a supporter. He has to be very careful politically taking credit for the vaccine, because there are millions of people that are sympathetic towards Trump. But the vaccine is a personal issue. They lost their job. They got kicked out of the military. They had a loved one suddenly, you know, people with pericarditis and myocarditis and, you know, they have other issues associated with the forced vaccination, or even just that they were told a lie. Hey, get one shot, so on and so forth. So my advice for President Trump is to say, hey, my instincts were to go for early treatments, and I was lied to by the pharmaceutical companies. I think it is a perfect opportunity. And President Trump is not a stranger to that kind of an argument. Think about it. How many times did he say that the FBI came after me? You know, the intel agencies came after me. It is a continuation of a narrative. And I know you want to get in here. Just last thing I'll say really quick is that if President Trump says that these pharmaceutical companies came into the White House and told me one thing and we saw another, and as president, I will do a criminal investigation into the big four, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, I think he could break out of this potential political problem, especially with RFK running, who is nipping at his bud right now in regards to the vaccine issue.
I'll tell you what, I'm excited about this conversation that you and I are having already, because it's a legitimate conversation where I don't feel like I'm just trying to frame questions in order to establish a position, but I am genuinely interested. And in what you're saying, and in that spirit, if Trump... Yeah, I love your suggestion. There should be an investigation into the activities of those companies rather than continually redacted documents and further support and further deals in our country. Oh. AstraZeneca have just done a £650 million deal with the government to build more factories. You know there's a revolving door between Pfizer and the FDA, Moderna and the FDA, and comparable agencies in our country. One question, though. If indeed Trump's defense for what happened in that rather unique and difficult period is to be that it was establishment mandarins and bureaucrats that strangled his authority, how can he claim that in a second term he will be able to impose authority in a distinct and different way? And will he, if he were to say that he was going to, would he not risk further accusations that what he was planning to bring to America was a form of dictatorship, which is precisely what his detractors on the neoliberal left are continually saying, whilst I recognize and consider, and just to let you know my position, I consider the biggest threat to our freedom to be the new strain of authoritarianism being all good under the auspices of neoliberalism. That is the tyranny that we have to fear, no question about it. But how would Trump do things differently this time without playing into the hands of those that say he's going to slash bureaucracy and all that?
Yeah, so two things. Number one, you're right. The new authoritarianism, though, looks different than just a czar, a Caesar, or a king. The new authoritarianism is by committee. It's by oligarchy. It is by bureaucracy. It is by the secret society of intelligentsia that sit around and they agree that, you know, the Faucis, the Birxes, they are largely the faceless, nameless, unidentified power structure within the Leviathan. So when people think of authoritarianism, they just think of Putin. When the new authoritarianism rests within the credentialed class, the managerial revolution that we've lived through the West. I'm happy to explore that, but I just wanted to expound on that. The second part, though, is this is why my recommendation for President Trump is he should say that, hey, as president, I'm going to put RFK in charge of a committee going after vaccine safety and the vaccine adverse event reporting system, which we call VAERS in the States. And personnel is policy. And that the best answer I have to that, Russell, is the way that he can try and calm the anxiety and the nerves that some people have towards the kind of, let's just say, deep state machinations of the bureaucracy. The administrative state is another term that I like to use for these group of vultures that run our country, is that I'm going to have specific people that will dedicate their life 24/7 to try to rein in the beast. And so when it comes to the CDC or the FDA, first of all, politically, it'd be a huge winner. And I don't know what RFK would really do with that if President Trump came out and said, hey, I'm going to make RFK in charge of the special committee. For example, by the way, committees are not nothing. I want you to think about it. We had the Church and Pike Committee before. There's been like 9/11 commissions. And the 9/11 commission was largely flawed and, you know, not exactly great. But it had a lot of attention, a lot of funding. There was the Warren Commission with the JFK assassination, which was a joke. But at times, some of these commissions and some of these, you actually learn something, the Church and Pike Committee being the best congressional example. I think we need a retroactive looking back at the crimes committed during COVID with the same sort of urgency that we would if there was a domestic terror attack. Like, oh, wow, you know, how did these hijackers get in the country? You know, again, that was the spirit that triggered the 9/11 Commission. Again, it was a very lackluster report, and it was missing a lot of stuff. However, the spirit that launched the investigation was a good one because people wanted answers. Where is that now, Russell? Why don't we get answers from these intel agencies? Why don't we get answers from – did we know that Anthony Fauci was potentially on the take from these pharma companies? So I'm not dodging the question. I'm saying President Trump has a couple challenges facing his second term as politically and then actually – from a policy perspective if he becomes president. The first of which is he has to convince certain voters that the personnel will be different. This is why my advice is name the names of the people that you're going to put in your government that have earned the trust. And secondly, his first month in office, I hope we see a lot of firings and a lot of turnover in the deep state administrative state.
Now, the keen-eyed or eared among you will have noticed that we had to censor a couple of words there. That was only for those of you that are watching it on YouTube, on Rumble. You would have heard Charlie Kirk's words in full. So take the opportunity and click the link in the description right now and join us for the rest of this conversation on Rumble. And if you're watching very carefully, you'll notice that at an almost indiscernible point in our conversation, bruises appeared on my face when I nipped out of the room, did a little bit of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and came back. Let's get back to our conversation with Charlie Kirk.
Oh, that must be almost over.
Is that it? Okay. I know.
It said there's another minute on, but okay, that's all right. So anyway, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up too, so what is this thing with Candace Owens and Macron's wife? Did you hear?
Yeah, about there's something about how there's people that strongly believe that Macron's wife is a transgender.
I mean, she doesn't really look like one to me. I know she's older. But I don't know. She doesn't look manly to me. I don't know. But for her to say that she would stake her entire professional reputation, I'm like, really? I mean, I hope she's got some proof. So it just seems odd. I'm trying to figure out, I've been looking at pictures of her to try to figure out how someone would think that. So I don't know, it's just a little bit bizarre to me. Little bit bizarre. So, who knows? Who knows, who knows? But I was kind of surprised about it. So, let's see. What else did I see? What was I just looking at, doggone it? Probably on here. Nope.
I want to give you a chance to talk instead of playing another clip. I'm happy to play another clip.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to. I just, it just seems like, I don't know, the same old stuff. But I like that. I just saw a thing on Facebook about it had skinheads stamped with the like barcodes on their heads. It was a pretty good it said, "We did it because we want to travel and go to work. They said we want to be free, they said." And it shows, and you know, I had so many people say that while they got the shot. Well, we wanted to be able to travel. I mean, seriously.
Right, I know.
Oh, like how stupid. I mean, it just, people just don't take, they just don't take things serious enough, you know? You would think that with as sick as Americans are, and just everything that's taken place and the failure, I think the medical system and the industry has failed miserably. I mean, I still am, you know, like obviously there's a few good things about it. I'm not going to say that there's not, but the majority of it is, it's just all about making people lifelong customers. It's all about the money. And I just, show me where heart disease has gotten better. Show me where they've cured diabetes. You know, the only people that cure diabetes are basically people that go research it on their own and figure it out. I mean, cancer is the same way. You know, there's a lot of people out there that they have ways of curing it, and people just don't understand. They really don't understand what it is, but I just don't know how people still trust that industry.
Well, I cured myself of high blood sugar.
Yeah, exactly. No thanks to the doctors, you know. So they, I understand, like, the older generation, because they grew up with a different, you know, different types of doctors, but now they're stuck in, you know, with the current day doctors, which aren't very good, and they're the ones that just continue to put them on medicine and everything. I remember my childhood doctor, and I remember he was good. But it just, you know, back then, you had like one doctor, and they basically took care of pretty much everything, you know. And these days, it's like you had to have a doctor for every different little thing. I mean, it's crazy. So it's no wonder things are messed up, because you almost need one doctor to where they can get to know you and know what's going on with you, instead of having to go all to all these different specialties and stuff. It's just, another way to make money. I mean, they got to keep the doctors and the lawyers in business. So that's what it seems like anyway.
Well, as far as, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I did put out a post a few times that the first weekend in April, we're doing our annual hashtag I Did It Barefoot Challenge, where we're asking people to go to a store without shoes on and take a selfie. So
okay.
It's gotten somewhat popular on TikTok. So much popular that there's a doctor, one doctor that wrote an article that got picked up by the Associated Press, and everybody's referencing don't do the barefoot challenge because it's too harmful to go barefoot. You might step on something or you might stub your toe. Like, yeah,
oh,
nobody's
goodness.
Ever heard that one before.
Yeah, well, what about, so the TikTok ban, is it going to happen?
Who knows? I'm not, I don't care one way or the other if they keep TikTok or not. I'm just worried that this might mean that they can open the door to shutting down whatever website that they choose. So they'd be violating everyone's freedom of speech, because they could say, okay, we're going to ban the word freedom from being on a web address, and then we're gone.
No, I agree. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you almost start questioning. I don't know. I just question everything that happens. I don't believe. I can't believe anything anymore. You know, I have, once again, you know, my Persian friends, I tend to listen to them because they come from a different place, you know, in life in general, because they grew up during, you know, they were in Iran in the 70s when the Ayatollah came over there, and they were scared to death. You know, they lived through getting bombed and all that stuff, and how that, you know, they were brutal. They saw them, how they killed people and just took what they wanted. And so they see, you know, they see a lot of things that we don't see, but I know, you know, he always talks about the ones that he said, China doesn't want to destroy America. Because he said, we give them too much business. He said, the United States, you know, is probably the biggest supporter of China as far as products and stuff go. So I don't know. I mean, that some of that, you know, it makes some sense.
Well, if
so
they
I
had
know,
somebody
I mean,
like Trump in, that they would make a lot of money because, yeah, they might pay some in tariffs, but there's an economy. And so everybody wins. With this, there's just so much that Brandon and the globalists are just trying to give China. Like, we're gonna really explode our debt, and then China, we'll give you whatever you want. Just take our debt. And believe it or not, that does not help.
Right. Oh, no, I know. And, I mean, I know they're... Well, I saw the thing, too, about, it was just basically a temporary stop about the electric cars Honda? I forget the three
Honda,
companies.
Honda, Toyota, and Ford, those three announced they're going to stop the production of EVs.
Yeah. But, obviously, it was just...
And then Brandon is expected this week to sign legislation making it even harder to keep gas-powered engines.
Yeah, well, I
so
can't
they're
going
to push people whether they want to or not.
Yeah,
and that's
well,
the thing that
wait.
Most people don't realize, that with the way that Democrats and Republicans are supposed to be run, whether they're run like that or not right now is a debate. But Republicans are supposed to be more people-based and more personal freedom, whereas the Democrats are more like a communistic, the government knows more. And so we all have to live under one collective.
Yeah. And God knows it's not going to happen.
But the Democrats, it doesn't matter who the narrator is. They all have the same exact message because of that, because it's about living as a communist. It's about giving up your own self for the greater good.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why you never see a Republican talk about how great communism is.
Right. Although there's so many rhinos in the Republican Party.
Right. But in theory, that's how it's supposed to be ran.
So what do you mean?
Whereas the Republican side is supposed to present more freedom for the people, whereas the Democrats are supposed to promote the government.
I mean, yeah, and that doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why liberals are connected to the Democratic Party, because they're in no way, shape, or form the true definition of a liberal.
The Democrats are all about being conformist, though. And it's about what's in it for them. It's about getting, even if it means giving up your freedoms, at least you don't really have to do much for it. You just have to stand together and let the government do its thing.
Yeah. Goodness. So I've got Julia Childs on. I'm watching while I'm talking to you. I'm watching a chef cut a piece of fruit. It was a pretty decent sized fruit. It's kind of looks like a mango on the inside, but it's inside the orange part of it. It's got a bunch of little seeds. What is that?
You'll have to show me.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what fruit that is. It's driving me crazy.
And it's not a papaya, right?
Maybe it is. Does the papaya just have the seeds just in the very center of it?
Yes.
And does it have what looks like?
They're black and kind of round.
The seeds?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can name it without looking at it. That's funny.
So that's a papaya. Okay. You know, and we just don't have a lot of them here. I need to get one and try one, because they're supposed to be really good.
You know what's funny,
aren't they?
Is the seeds are supposed to be healthier than the fruit.
Really?
Yeah, papaya seeds are excellent for digestion.
Oh, I have heard of that. Yeah, they use them for enzymes.
Yeah.
They have papaya enzymes. Okay. So, yeah, but the fleshy part, fruit part of it looks like mango to me.
Yeah,
it doesn't taste like mango.
I think they're better dehydrated than fresh, but that's just me.
Oh, okay. Are they sweet?
I don't really know what to equate them as.
Okay. So they're nothing like a mango.
I don't know too many bitter fruits unless it's bergamot or something with a heavy citrusy skin.
Okay, what's the fruit that tastes nasty? There's some sort of fruit out there. I remember watching.
Yeah, durian. Durian.
Also, the durian. So, see, I don't get it, because one of the people I follow, they had a big durian fruit, and I was like, ooh. Because that's what I was thinking, that it was supposed to be gross.
Well, the thing is, it is so sweet that the sweetness backfires on durian. So if you can tolerate it, it's great. But for most people, it's so sweet, it's nasty.
Interesting.
Huh. Okay. Well.
But it's one of the best aphrodisiacs. So if somebody wants to go on a sexual bender, durian's excellent.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh.
So I'm sure the wiretap probably eats a regular bit of it.
No joke. They're going to be trying to feed it to Broccoli Man.
Yeah.
I think you're going to think of a new skit with this one. Oh, that's funny. So, but yeah, they're huge too. The one he had was anyway, it was big. So, all right. So I've got to start trying some of these exotic fruits. There's a
that's funny.
A place
I've seen them
can,
so often, I don't even think of them as exotic.
Yeah, I know. It's why that's the negative side about living in Southeast Missouri. We don't.
Well, I live in Las Vegas. You wouldn't expect me to know all that stuff.
Well, but don't you guys have a lot of those fruits come in there?
Yeah,
and
but if you live near St. Louis, there should be some of that in St. Louis.
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know. Not much. But then again, I guess maybe it's the places I shop at. So I know I can order them on, I think I get a link from Miami Fruit or something like that, and you can order a basket. Oh, you get
I
that
look
too?
At them. I've never ordered anything from them, but I get their
I
emails.
Haven't either. No, I haven't either. So that's what I just wish I could order oranges from somebody. So Texas oranges are great this time of year. I just had a few of those the other day, but I can't always get them. They fluctuate.
Did you ever sign up for that lolly?
Wait.
So you can get your free bitcoins?
I don't think so. You sent that to me last week.
Yeah, I'm trying to make the rounds and make sure everybody gets signed up. You don't want to make sure everybody gets signed up before the bitcoin splits in a couple weeks.
You did. Where is... I know you sent me the link to that. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. I'm popping it up now. I'm looking at it. Okay. Join?
Yes.
Okay, so you just got to join. Okay. All right, continue.
I just want to see everybody get their free Bitcoin, and then when it splits, you'll have twice as much. I wouldn't worry about the value right now. I'd worry about the value after it splits.
So, so it's supposed to happen in a couple weeks?
Yeah, in April. I don't know the exact date, but I know in April.
Nice. Maybe it'll be during the eclipse. Jeez. Oh, boy. They just love to come up with, who knows, though. Like I said, I wonder if they've ever, I mean, when they were talking about the eclipses causing earthquakes, a possibility of one. I wonder if they've got like a history of it doing that.
Hmm.
I'd be curious.
Oh, Bitcoin went down a little bit today.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that too. I checked.
Hmm.
I was yesterday.
Everything I have went down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's let's see. Click this link. Okay.
All right, there's one more clip I want to play, and then that's it for
I just don't know
clip.
Enough about
play,
it.
I want to play one more Dan Bongino clip. It's like 5 minutes, I think.
Okay.
The genius of what Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis and others did. is sending illegal immigrants, and that's what they are, illegal immigrants. They are not newcomers. They are not migrants. They are illegal immigrants. The genius of what they did is they made the politics of immigration local. Because now all of a sudden you get off the train in Manhattan and those same people you heard about in a faraway place in McAllen, Texas, all of a sudden we're sitting there right in front of you. The nation owes a debt of gratitude to these people. DeSantis and Abbott, I don't care about the politics and the primary stuff. It's over. It's done. He's a good governor down here in Florida. And Abbott, I know, hasn't been with us on every issue, but he's finally come around on this thing. What they did, remember, politicians are tools. What they did to make this a national issue is genius. And you are absolutely insane to not credit Donald Trump with this too. Donald Trump took on the immigration issue in 2015 and 2016, and everybody told him it was a loser. But he had a gut instinct to run with it, and he made it a local issue. I want to show you what I mean. This is my home county here in Martin. This is Sheriff Snyder. You know he's leaving. He's the guy Donald Trump left a message to. He's retiring. Great guy. Love him to death. Here he is. This is a local report. This is my community. Now, this was not showing you, again, all politics are local. I did not find this in my local paper. It was in a national conservative outlet. This is everywhere in the country right now. This is my local sheriff where I live in Martin County. Watch this.
We have seen an enormous spike in sex crimes against juveniles here. Unfortunately, a lot of that's occurring in our undocumented immigrant community.
Martin County Sheriff William Snyder telling us this a few weeks ago while addressing overcrowding in his jail. We reached back out to him after this latest incident to elaborate.
I'm not a sociologist, but my sense is that we see more sex crimes with some of our immigrant population because in their culture, it may not be quite the taboo that it is here.
33 of the inmates here in his jail are holds for ICE. Of those, 28, he says, are undocumented. Of those 28 individuals, he says more than a third are charged with serious sex crimes.
Folks, that's a local news report, but I didn't see it in the local news. I was gone. I was in New York burying my mom. I was flying home. I saw it in the Post-Millennial or something. This is a national issue. This is what all politics are local means. These stories are going to pop up in every community. And don't buy the BS story from the leftist goons that, oh, you know, citizens commit crimes too. That's not the point, jerkwads on the left. The point is those people shouldn't be here. We should. We're citizens. We belong here. It's our country. They had a path to citizenship. It's called the immigration process. They chose not to take it. That's not my problem. Here's AOC's district. This is VO. There's no sound to this. Here, look, this is AOC's district. Why am I showing you? This was on Fox, by the way. This is the sidewalk. What the hell is this, like an outdoor bazaar or something? Look at this. This is insane. How is that? This, look at this. This is now, why do I bring up AOC's district? Because my grandmother, who's since passed, spent her whole life in Jackson Heights in AOC's district. This is what it looks like. This is insane. What the hell is this? Some outdoor bazaar? It's the sidewalk. Illegal immigrants selling clothing on the sidewalk. Hey, you want to see another one? Here's a local report from Fox News. Fox News National. Fox News National had a story, too. All politics are local. Another story about sex crimes by illegals that happened just 30 miles south of me. Take a look at this.
Sandra, now to Florida, where the community in Palm Beach is on edge after police say a woman was kidnapped and sexually assaulted before she managed to escape. Three men are now in custody, and police say they are here illegally from Guatemala.
Hey, you want one more? New York Post. Illegal migrant from Lebanon caught at the border. Don't worry, folks. He only admitted to being a Hezbollah terrorist hoping to make a bomb. It was headed for New York. No big deal. Nothing to see here, folks. He said it right. Maybe they gave him a first-class ticket. Maybe he snuck the bomb materials on a plane. Was he even screened? Were they like, don't screen him. He's an illegal. He gets special privileges. Do they get, like, pre-check or clear or something like that? How does that work? Folks, because I'm a solutions-oriented show. Okay, Dan, well, what are we going to do? Folks, Donald Trump wins. He is the presumptive nominee. And we have it's presumptive only because I care about accuracy and the convention hasn't happened yet. But obviously the primary is over. The presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, we need a massive deportation program. The biggest deportation program we've ever seen. You have to go back to your country. And if you've broken the law, there has to be some 5 or 6 year period where you can't come back here legally. I'm sorry, you broke the law. There's going to be a penalty. And you cannot come back right away. Matter of fact, you cannot come back for years because a message has to be sent that you try to get into the United States illegally, that's it, it's over. Probably be preferable you can't come back at all because you chose the illegal route. Has to be the biggest deportation program we've ever seen. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
All right, so that's the last clip of the day. I hope you appreciated that.
Yeah, I like Dan Bongino.
Yeah, I think he was voted one of the most likable talk show hosts.
Yeah, he's got a great voice, too. It's easy to listen to. Easy to understand, and for sure, but you are too. You've got a great voice too.
Yeah, but I don't have the audience like I used to, but that's okay. We're still here.
Yeah, sorry to say. Unfortunately, this world's way different right now. So.
Right. But then we did it again, though. We just got the 90-second buzzer.
Okay. Well, you have a good evening.
All right. So thank you for being here. We always appreciate having you, Christina.
Sure.
So we'll have you again next Monday.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right, until then, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow... Hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oots.